have it on one side, so I think we'll prepare to make a start. And it's the hymn, "Am I a Soldier of the Cross? A follower of the Lamb, and shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name?" We'll keep our seats as we sing this hymn unto the Lord, and let us sing with all of our hearts. We've lost it again. There we are. Okay, Mrs. Halliday, thank you. Invite you please to change your position and stand, those that are able, and we'll commit our way now to the Lord in prayer, praying for his presence in his house this morning. Our eternal God and our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the descriptions in thy word of the Christian. We thank you that we are the bride of Christ. We thank you, Lord, that the Son of God loved us and gave himself for us that he might bring us unto himself as the great bridegroom to bring us into that mystical saving union with him whereby he cares for us, he loves us, he provides for us, and he helps us. But Lord, we recognize too that the Christian is not only provided for and helped and loved as the bride of Christ, but we are described as soldiers of the cross. And the church as an army terrible with banners. We recognize, Lord, as we live in this world, there is a battle to engage in, a fight to be fought, enemies to encounter. We also recognize that at times the battle will rage fierce against us. Maybe personally, we will know the attack of the wicked one. We'll know the onslaught of hell against us and the temptations and evil allure of the world coming upon our soul and seeking to bring us away from God. Father, we know too that the Church of Christ will face the rage and the wrath of Satan and his host, the enemies of the gospel. Thou hast told us and exhorted us, whether individually or collectively, what we are to do to be good soldiers of Christ. We're to put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. And for every blood-bought believer, for every born-again Christian, we pray, Father, that they will not only be well-dressed in the armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the shield of faith, the sword of the Spirit, the belt of truth, our feet shod with the preparation of the gospel. But Lord, we ask that not only will we be well dressed with the armor, but we'll have the wisdom and the knowledge how and when to use the armor. Lord, help us to use that shield to deflect and defend ourselves from the fiery darts of the wicked one. Help us to use the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God, to slay the enemy. And Father, we pray that Thou wilt help us in our onward march and walk with God to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. Bless us this day in God's house. We would say in the words of the little chorus, Spirit off the living God, fall afresh upon us. Lord, if Thy Spirit is not here, then the ordinances are merely rituals. Lord, if Thy Spirit is not in them, the letter killeth. Lord, it's just a form. But when the Spirit of God is here, there is liberty. We pray that Thou wilt bless us as we sing. Give us hearts of joy and thanksgiving, that Lord will sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto Thee. May we have the joy of heaven, that we will cry out in song unto Him who loved us and washed us from our sin, unto Him who hath loved us, to Him be the glory forever. Amen. Lord, as we read Thy Word, may we have reverence for Thy Word. We're not reading a fairy tale or a story or some excellent piece of literature. Lord, we're reading the inspired Word of God, God's revelation to man. Help us as Thy children to reverence Thy Word. Teach us and instruct us from its pages. May we grow in the knowledge of the Lord from the Word of God. We pray that our souls will be fed upon the finest of the wheat. Lord, we would sing with the hymn writer, feed us till we want no more. Lord, may our soul be fed on the bread of heaven today, on the Word of God, and may we be fat and flourishing as a result of our feeding upon Thy Word. Lord, Christianity, we know, is a religion of the book. Therefore, Lord, teach us Thy Word. When we come to preach it, Lord, may we preach it not with fine oratory or the enticing words of man's wisdom, but may the Spirit of God take His own Word and apply it to hearts, and may it live within our souls and bring forth fruit that will be sweet to the taste of our blessed Savior. We pray for those that are in need, for those that are greatly troubled, for those that are sick, for those, Lord, that are in hospital, for those that are at home recovering. We pray for those who have come through surgery recently or had medical treatment for a sustained period of time. We pray, Lord, thy healing hand will be upon them. The comfort and nearness of Christ will be very real to them. Bless those, Lord, who have other problems and difficulties to encounter at this time. May their mind be stayed upon Jehovah. Their hearts be fully blessed, finding, as Christ promised, perfect peace and rest. So, Lord, open the windows of heaven now. Pour us out a blessing and make our time in God's house profitable and blessed. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Turn this morning in the word of the Lord to the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel, the sixth chapter. We want to take our reading this morning from the sixth chapter of the book of Daniel. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 22. Daniel chapter 6. And we're reading from verse 1 to verse 22. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Verse 3, then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom, but they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing, that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Wherefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, the thing is true. A according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is, that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And the stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. When he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Amen. And we end our reading at the 22nd verse of Daniel chapter 6, and trusting the Lord will bless the reading of his word to our own hearts. We extend a word of welcome to each and every one this morning, and we trust that the Lord will bless you in the house of the Lord today. Tonight at 7 p.m. is our evening gospel service, and God willing, I will be the preacher this evening. We had planned to have a group of singers here this evening, but at the last minute, due to unforeseen circumstances, they've had to cancel, but we'll just sing a second hymn tonight. You come along nevertheless, and I will be preaching the gospel tonight. The next meeting then is on Wednesday at 8 p.m., the midweek meeting for prayer. We'll be having a report on Wednesday night from the Consider Christ team. That was a team of outreach workers overseen by some of our ministers that was established a number of years ago to evangelize the south of Ireland. They will be giving us a report on Wednesday night in relation to the plowing outreach in the south, and I think it's the Reverend James Porter will be along on Wednesday night, and he'll be bringing a report on that, and an offering will be received for the work of the evangelism in the south of Ireland and the plowing championships especially. Keen to know whether that is going ahead this year. I'm not up with the news, or certainly restrictions or lack of them in the south of Ireland. It's usually the September time that outreach takes place, but no doubt we'll hear on Wednesday evening all about that. On Friday night at 7 p.m. is the children's meeting for the boys and girls, and at 8:15 the youth fellowship, and encourage as many of the children as possible to come along on Friday night for the children's meeting. And I'll be along on Friday night to lead the youth fellowship, and there'll be a special word of testimony from Mrs. Jeannie Graham, and she'll also be relating on her work and various matters facing young people today. So encourage the children and the young people along on Friday night. On Saturday at 7:30 is the Reach, 7:30 for the Reach. And Philip has asked me to announce as well the Junior Reach. They're planning to recommence the Junior Reach on the 9th of October, and the workers will be in contact with the children prior to then. Next Lord's Day, the Sabbath School is at 10:30 a.m. and the morning prayer time 10:45. Morning worship at 11:30 and 7 p.m. the gospel service. Next Lord's Day, the first Sunday of October, is traditionally Harvest Thanksgiving service in Bethany, and that will be the case next Lord's Day. Can I just mention, the session have decided that there will not be a Monday night harvest this year. We cancelled it last year, and there will be no Monday night meeting this year. So I'd ask you to endeavour to attend the Sunday services next Lord's Day for the Harvest Thanksgiving. We usually have visiting preachers at Harvest Sunday, and next Sunday morning, the Reverend Gordon Ferguson will be speaking, and the Reverend Bram McClung will be speaking on Sunday evening. Do please plan to attend those Harvest Thanksgiving services. A couple of other announcements to mention. Would ask you to continue to pray for the sick of the congregation and also those ministerial brethren who are laid aside. And special prayers being requested for the Reverend David Smith from Banbridge. David's no stranger to us. Do continue to pray for David. David was admitted to hospital during the week, and do pray for our brother that the Lord's hand will be upon him, and for others from our own congregation who need a touch from the Lord. One other announcement. We were very pleased to attend on Monday night here in Bethany the Whitfield graduation service. It's a commencement and graduation service. And Mr. Stephen Nelson, who had been student assistant here for the past year, though we were greatly limited in what we could do with our brother, yet he was a student assistant here for the past year, and he was licensed on Monday evening. It was on Thursday morning, I think, that I got a little message from him to say that at our next presbytery meeting, which is on Friday night, will be by Zoom, but our brother, Mr. Nelson, will be receiving a call to the Resharkin congregation. So I'd ask you to pray for Mr. Nelson as he considers this, and will receive the call on Friday night at presbytery, and pray for him and Alana in the days that are to come. And we trust that they will know the leading and the guiding of the Lord in this matter. Those are all the announcements this morning that I have. We're going to sing another hymn before we have the preaching of the Word. It will appear on the screen for you, on the wall, I should say. Standing by a purpose true, we're preaching about Daniel this morning, and therefore it's good to sing the hymn about Daniel. Standing by a purpose true, heeding God's command, honor them, the faithful few, all hail to Daniel's band. We'll keep our seats again as we sing this hymn. Thank you. ask you once again to change your positions and stand just for a short word of prayer. Those that are able, let's just rise in the presence of the Lord, be reverent before Him for a moment, and pray now for His Word. It is the inspired, living Word of God. It's never out of date, and it is never irrelevant to the lives of men and women. And we want to pray now God's Word will live today within our hearts and challenge us and speak to us in God's house. Father, we thank You for the example of men of God whose lives are recorded in Thy Word. We know that they were not men without sin. They needed a Savior. But Lord, some give us an excellent example to follow, and Daniel is one of them. No fault, no error could be found in his employment life as he served in the government of Babylon and the Medes and the Persians. No error could be found in him. They couldn't criticize his language. They couldn't criticize his behavior. They couldn't criticize anything that he said or done. He was upright before God and before man. Lord, help us to be men like Daniel. And when a law was introduced that was contrary to God's law, he followed the Word of God and continued his daily pattern of prayer. Give us the quiet, godly, gracious conviction of Daniel that we will obey the Lord and serve Him. Help us to fulfill our civic duties as Christians, to be subject unto the powers that be, but when they conflict with the law of God, give us courage, wisdom first of all, to see and understand what is a conflict between state and sovereign God. And then, Lord, give us courage to do what is right in the sight of God. Fill me now with the Spirit of God to preach the Word to the congregation here assembled. And may the Lord have all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as you take your seat, would you open your Bible, please, at Daniel chapter 6. I want to speak to you this morning from a little phrase found at the end of verse 16 of Daniel chapter 6, where it says, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually." Thy God, whom thou serviced continually. This chapter, of course, records one of the greatest and well-known incidents and stories in the entire Bible. If we ask the youngest boy or girl here to tell us if they know something about Daniel, I'm sure the first thing they would say to us is that he was thrown into a den or a cage of lions. And this chapter records for us that incident when Daniel was delivered from the lions whom he was cast to. The chapter commences with the exaltation of Daniel in verses 1 to 3. You will read there that Darius the king, he was a king of the Medes and the Persians. The Medes and the Persians overthrew the Babylonians. We'll say a bit more about that as we go on in our message. But Darius was the king of the Medes and Persians, the great superpower of its day. And he decided how he was going to govern his kingdom. He would have 120 princes. And they would have control over 120 provinces. And they would be accountable and answerable to three presidents. So 120 princes over 120 provinces. And they would be accountable to three presidents. And of the three presidents, the chief president was Daniel. Verse 3 tells us, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. And so the chapter begins with Daniel being exalted in a position of authority within the civil government of the kingdom. He was virtually prime minister of the kingdom. The only one greater than him would be Darius, the king. God honored Daniel because Daniel had honored God. Right throughout his life, Daniel honored God, and so the Lord honored him and he promoted him within the kingdom. God honors those that honor him. But the chapter continues with the envy of Daniel. Look at verse 4 of chapter 6. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. They were jealous. They were envious. They were covetous of his position. And because he was favored by the king, because he was good at his job, because he was an honorable man, and he excelled, and he was favored in the kingdom, they were jealous, envious, and covetous of him, and they desired and they wanted to be rid of him and put him down. While these men are evidently unbelievers, I want to take a moment in passing and say that that spirit ought not to be found in any Christian's heart. Jealousy, envy, covetousness, these are the marks of the flesh, not the spirit, and they ought not to characterize a Christian's life. The Christian ought to be above these things and have a different spirit within them. And yet the sad reality is that often these very things that characterize and mark the ungodly, they're seen in the lives of God's people too, and it ought not to be. For all their jealousy and envy and spite against Daniel, though they sought to find something in him to accuse him of, to remove him from his position, they could find no accusation against him. Dear child of God, that should be what we aspire to. Look, there are times we all feel. Every one of us. And the preacher would have to hold his hands up as well. I'm not preaching something to you that isn't relevant to me. I am well aware of my own feelings. I can assure you of that. And there's times we will all feel. We may say something we later regret. We may do something we later regret. But I'm saying to you, Daniel is an example that we should aspire to in our work lives, in our employment, in our home lives. When they sought to find something against him, to accuse him, to remove him from his position, they could find nothing. He wasn't fiddling the books. He wasn't and didn't have a secret immoral relationship. He wasn't doing any of these things. He was an upstanding citizen with a credible Christian testimony an Old Testament believer. And so as they continued to examine his life, they realized the only way that they could find anything against him was by an accusation against his faith in God and his walk with God. And they lied about it. They come before Darius and they say, is it in verse 6 and verse 7 that all the princes and all the presidents had consulted together? Well, they'd left Daniel out, so they were lying, and he was the chief president. And they tricked the king into passing this decree that for 30 days, if any man or any woman, any individual should make request of any god save the king, they would be fed to the lions. Though the chapter commences with the exaltation of Daniel and continues with the envy against Daniel and this wicked plan, our text brings us to the exclamation about Daniel. For being cast into the den of lions, the king was grieved, but he couldn't change the law. We often talk about the law of the Medes and Persians, something that cannot be changed. And that's where the phrase comes from. And so Daniel had to be delivered to the den of lions. And the king had a sleepless night, and he came to the den of lions in the morning. But before that, as he cast Daniel into the den, he uttered those words to Daniel, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." That's the exclamation about Daniel. And it's spoken in the context that God was able, and the king believed in his heart. He'd watched Daniel's life. He'd seen him. He'd heard about him. He'd observed him. And he knew the relationship Daniel had with God and how God blessed Daniel. And he said, "Daniel, thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee." But as I thought about that little phrase, it was that little bit, "thy God whom thou servest continually," that sums up Daniel's testimony. That sums up Daniel's life as a believer. And if there was one phrase to be written over our lives, this would be a good one. Could men say of you, could we put your name in this verse? Daniel. Or maybe today it's, well, I'm not going to mention any names. I wouldn't want people in the congregation, if I picked your name, I wouldn't want you to think, oh, he's picking out on me. But you put your name in there, and I put mine. If there was one phrase to be written over our lives, could it be said, "Thy God, whom thou servest continually"? You know, that's what we need today. Men and women who will serve the Lord continually. Not serve the Lord today and away tomorrow. Not be zealous for the Lord one minute and cold as ice the next minute. God's church and the Lord Himself is looking for those who will be consistent and persistent in their service for the Lord. And I'm putting out the challenge right now to your heart, if you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, are you going to serve the Lord and stand for Him continually? No turning back. No turning aside. But going on with God. I want to highlight three things from this text and this theme. The theme is serving the Lord continually. I want to firstly define Daniel's service, a definition of his service. thy God whom thou servest. This is what set Daniel apart. He served the Lord. How did he do that? Well, there are many aspects to serving God, and not all of those aspects are mentioned in relation to Daniel, but some of them are. As you read through the book, there are a couple of things that it sets forth in his life which clearly define what serving the Lord entails and what it means. I believe he served the Lord by an obedient life. If you turn back to chapter 1, verse 8, it's one of the favorite texts in the book of Daniel. Daniel had been brought to the palace in Babylon, and as one of the princes from the house of Judah, when Jerusalem was overthrown and Jews were taken to Babylon, Daniel was among that number, but because he was of the royal seed, he was taken to the palace in Babylon. And there he and his friends were to be schooled to serve the king of Babylon in the palace, but they were going to be fed food that was, I believe, contrary to the Old Testament Jewish food laws. And Daniel 1 verse 8 tells us, Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. When partaking at the king's table would defile himself before God, Daniel chose to obey the word of God and reject the king's portion. I don't know what the king's meat involved. We're not given the specifics. We can only speculate that it was contrary to some of the command set forth in the Old Testament for the Jews, that it would have defiled them before God because it would have broken the Old Testament food laws. And when Daniel was placed in that position, he chose to obey the word of God rather than defile himself by breaking the word of God. And I'm saying to you just now that one characteristic of serving the Lord is to live a life that is in obedience to the word of God. He that walketh in a perfect way shall serve me. Psalm 101, verse 6. Or that word perfect could be translated sincere or obedient. He that walketh in an obedient, sincere path or way, he shall serve me. And serving God starts with bringing our lives into subjection and submission to the word of God. There's another way that Daniel served the Lord. Not only did he have an obedient life, but there was a habit of prayer. Just look at the chapter we read together, and it's the verse 10. This verse speaks of Daniel at prayer. Now, when Daniel knew the writing was signed, that was the law, that any man requested of any god anything within 30 days would face the den of lions. He went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees. That's his posture. Do you know that the word, the Hebrew word for kneel and the Hebrew word for blessing, they come from the same root word. There's a connection between them. It's the blessing comes from our knees, and the posture for prayer in the Bible was the kneeling down. He kneeled before God for a blessing. Three times a day and prayed. So you have his posture and you have his prayer. Give thanks before his God. And here's what I want. I want you to particularly notice it. As he did aforetime, Daniel didn't start praying three times a day when the king made a decree contrary to it. He was in the habit of praying three times a day before the king made his decree. And when the king made his decree, he continued to do as he did. He opened his windows toward Jerusalem, and he prayed for three times a day. Is prayer a habit in our lives? Is it a constant thing? That's what it means to serve the Lord. Prayer is a service for God. Luke 2 and 37, Anna, the daughter of Phanuel, she served God in the temple with fastings and prayer. Prayer is a service for God. And what Daniel did, he made it a habit in his life, and when it was banned, he simply, quietly, he didn't make a big show of it, he simply continued to do what he did. I was struck when I read that. That little phrase, as he did aforetime. You know, the last 18 months have been very challenging and been difficult, and the Church of Christ has genuinely and sincerely been trying to navigate our way through it. But sometimes believers can be filled with righteous anger and indignation. I had experienced a couple of weeks ago, I trust it was righteous anger and indignation, but I read a comment on social media of a man who was criticizing church closures in the last 18 months. I couldn't understand why now, because the churches are all open again. But criticizing church closures, and I know within my heart, 100%, as God is my witness, and I stand in this pulpit today, the man never regularly attended a house of God before they were closed. And as I read that little phrase, Daniel, as he did aforetime, he wasn't doing something when the king made a decree that he hadn't done before. He was just following the normal pattern. And the challenge for us now is attending God's house our normal pattern? Is praying and attending the prayer meeting our normal pattern? Is praying at home our normal pattern? It ought to be. That's the challenge. Because that's what it is to serve God continually. He served God by an obedient life. He served God with habitual prayer. He served God in faithfully proclaiming God's word. In Matthew 24 and 15, Daniel is described by Christ as a prophet. That's what he was, the prophet Daniel. And Daniel faithfully declared God's word, no matter what it cost or who it involved. There's one example, let me just leave with you. In Daniel 5 and verse 25 to 28, when that handwriting came on the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin, the king was drinking and he was mocking God and he was blaspheming. All of a sudden, a hand appeared out of nowhere. And it wrote in the wall, Mene, Mene, Tekel, Upharsin. And no one could understand what it meant. And eventually Daniel was called. And the king, Belshazzar, he was the king of the Babylonians. And he looked at the king in the eye and he said, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. You're finished. And your kingdom's finished. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. God has weighed you up in his scales and you're found wanting before him. You're a blasphemer. You're a mocker. You're a sinful man before God and you're found wanting. Eupharsin or Pheres, thy kingdom shall be divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. And he looked the king in the eye and he told him, tonight your kingdom will fall and it will be given to another. I tell you, that was a difficult message to declare and to preach. A difficult message. He had to look the king in the eye and tell him, God's weighed you up, you're found wanting, and tonight he's going to judge you, and your kingdom's finished. But Daniel, serving the Lord, faithfully declared what God revealed to him and told him to preach. That's serving the Lord. You put those three things together, my friends, and start at the start. You'll never serve God if your life's in open disobedience to him. You serve God by an obedient life. You serve God with habitual prayer. And you serve God by publicly declaring or testifying of the word of God. You serve God. And is your life given to the service of God? Now that's the first thing. I'm looking at the clock and the clock's moving on, but we're gonna stick with this. I'm coming to the second point. Not only is there a definition of Daniel's service, but I want you to notice the duration of his service. And we're just picking up now on that word continually. Thy God whom thou servest continually. Persistence, perseverance, consistency, not now and again, or when he felt like it, or when he was in the mood for it. No, Daniel was an in-season, out-of-season man. Not just when he thought it would be advantageous to him for one reason or another. No, if he had to face the lion's den, if he had to face the wrath of the king refusing the portion at his table, he would serve him no matter what. And again, I say to you, as you read through the book of Daniel, you will discover that he was faithful through very trying, very testing, and some very tragic times. And they are set forth as an example to us, dear Christian, that in the difficult times, we keep going on with God and continuing to serve him. Chapter 1, verse 3 and 4, he faced displacement from home and his country. Look at chapter 1. When did Daniel serve the Lord? He served him through great personal hardship and trials, because we read of his displacement. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, that's the king of Babylon, the master of the eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and the king's seed and of the princes, children of whom was no blemish, well favored, skillful in all wisdom. And what were they to do? They were to bring them that they might teach them the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans, that they might stand and serve before the king of Babylon. Daniel's just a young man when the Babylonian armies besieged Jerusalem. And they, well, it wasn't destroyed until the second siege, but the king was overthrown. The king's mentioned in verse 1, Jehoiakim, he was overthrown. And from that city, the Jews, many of them were taken to Babylon, and among them was Daniel. He's a young man. The capital city of his nation is conquered and overthrown. He is taken as a servant to leave his home, his family, his friends, all his life, his place of worship, the temple, his way of life, his culture, his people. He's taken from them all, and he's taken hundreds of miles to start a new life among a strange people. And there he would live all the days of his life. Put yourself in that position as a young man or young woman, and you face that personal turmoil to be taken from your home, your family, your way of life, the house of God, taken to a strange land to be schooled in the culture and the ways and the education of a foreign country that you might serve their king. I tell you what a challenge that is for anyone. But yet going through that personal change, that trauma, that trial, that testing, Daniel remained faithful. And one thing remained the same. He continued to serve the Lord through those personal hardships and difficulties. And the application is very simple. Dear child of God, no matter what personal difficulties you face, no matter what trials you're going through in the home, in the family, whatever trials you are facing in society, one thing should remain constant and the same in your life, and that is your service for God. He served the Lord through great personal trials, but then he also served the Lord through political upheaval. Look at chapter 5 and the verse 31. He's just told the Babylonian king, Belshazzar, your kingdom will fall. The Lord has given it to the Medes and the Persians, and his ancient history tells us that Darius the Mede came and took the kingdom in one night. Darius the Mede took the kingdom being about 62 years old. And Persia replaced Babylon. Daniel, by this stage, was an old and a mature man, the prophet of God, who had served the king of Babylon and served them well. And he was established in the kingdom. And now he's living through political upheaval and change. The kingdom that he has known all his adult life. It is conquered by the Medes and the Persians. A new superpower arises. Where will that leave Daniel personally? Where will it leave the king and the kingdom of Babylon? What effect will it have upon society and upon the people? And all these questions. There was war that night. There was a change of political leadership and new kingdom arose. And yet that king, within a very short space of time, he could say to Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. Men and women, kingdoms rise and kingdoms perish. And if we live through it, it should never shake us. Kingdoms rise and kingdoms perish. And whether the events in our days, whether it is war, whether it is famine, whether it is pestilence, whether it is a change of government or the fall of a superpower and the rise of another, these things should not trouble us. Jesus said that. When you see these things, be not troubled. Because while kingdoms rise and perish, his kingdom remains the same. And this world will end when the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our God and his Christ. The Lord is still on the throne. And whatever else is going on in society, whatever is on the headlines of the news, whether it's political or societal, never let those things distract you from your personal service for God. Because through all that political upheaval and change, Daniel served the Lord continually. Served the Lord continually through personal trials, through political upheaval, but he served the Lord continually. We're thinking about the duration of his service here. He served the Lord continually in the midst of personal persecution. We've read it in this chapter. When he was threatened with real persecution and the denial of his liberty because he was going to be fed to the lions. He would rather face the lions than deny his God. My friends, let's just pause for a moment. Let's just bring it to our own hearts. Let's make this real. If real persecution comes again, would we rather face the lions? Would we rather die than deny our God? May the Lord challenge our hearts. But even when faced with persecution, Daniel served the Lord, served him continually. May God make us men and women like Daniel. There's one final thought I'll put to you this morning. Considered the definition of his service and the duration of his service. Let's just notice in closing the declaration about his service. Because that little statement of verse 16 was King Darius's statement. Daniel didn't blow his own trumpet. Didn't rise into a pulpit and talk about how much he served the Lord and what all he was doing for the Lord. Like Paul, he could say, serving the Lord with all humility. He just quietly went about his life of service, no matter what it meant. We live in a day and age when too many want to blow the trumpet publicly. This is what I'm doing. Look at me. And if it's not blowing the trumpet in the street, it's blowing it on social media. This is what we're doing, and this is what I'm doing, and what's everybody else doing, and all it is, it's an elevation of self. It wasn't the spirit of Daniel. It's not the spirit of Paul. It shouldn't be the spirit in any believer. But rather, when we faithfully and continually serve the Lord, we don't need to blow our own trumpet. Because others will see it and take note. And that's what happened in the life of Daniel. The king could tell. This is a man that is faithful to God and to his service. Thy God whom thou servest continually. Daniel, we could say many things about you. The king could say, Daniel, I could say many things about you. But this thing he could say, you serve the Lord continually. And the real truth is this, when we serve God, others will note it. They may never make any statement about it. They may never even mention it to us, but they will note it. And that is the testimony that every Christian should desire. That those that we mingle and mix with and work with and come into contact with, they will see and know that our life is spent continually serving our God and Savior. Could that be said about you? Thy God, whom thou servest continually. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Close in prayer. The upstairs will vacate. I will go to the outer door, not shake hands, but we'll just be there to greet you as you leave at the front of the church. Father in heaven, Lord, make us men and women with all the attributes of Daniel. Help us to be persistent in our service for the Lord. O God, our Father, we pray that thou wilt part us now in thy fear and with thy blessing. Bring us back to thy house tonight to hear the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray in his name. Amen.